Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Sandra Nyaira.
And I'm Chris Gande.
Here are our top stories this evening.
The Constitutional Court rules that criminal defamation is unconstitutional as it violates freedom of expression and should therefore be scrapped.
Having a case hanging over your head for 3 years is a bit tricky, and it's quite thrilling and exciting that the law should be struck off as it is deemed unconstitutional. So I'm over the moon. I'm excited.
An MDCT activist is arrested for allegedly attempting to set the opposition party's Harvest House headquarters on fire last month.
And the wait is almost over. The World Cup is here, but several hundred Brazilians protested across the country today, charging the government spent billions on the games at the expense of the poor.
Many Zimbabweans, the people who all walks of life, they want the African teams to do so well this time around. Some of them are talking of Ghana because of what they did in South Africa 2010. Some are saying this time, because of the experience, Cote d'Ivoire might rise to the occasion.
The Constitutional Court of Zimbabwe today declared the charge of criminal defamation unconstitutional and argued that it should be scrapped. The court made the determination in a matter brought by two then-Standard newspaper journalists, Nebanji Madanire and Nkaba Mchazi, after they were arrested and charged with criminal defamation, following a story they ran alleging that Munyaradzi Kereke's Green Card Medical Aid Society was facing financial hardships. In its ruling, the court said Mchazi and Madanire had, quote, succeeded in demonstrating that the offense of criminal defamation is not reasonably justifiable in a democratic society and was out of line with the former constitution. The full bench consented and ordered Justice Minister Emmerson Mnangagwa to show cause why the Criminal Law Codification and Reform Act section should not be scrapped if he does not agree with the ruling. Studio 7's Ntungameli Nkomo reached Machazi, currently studying in England, who says he's happy about the court ruling.
Having a case hanging over your head for 3 years is a bit tricky, and it's quite thrilling and exciting that the law should be struck off as it is deemed unconstitutional. So I'm over the moon. I'm excited.
What does this mean for press freedom in Zimbabwe?
Well, the judgment is not quite final because the Minister of Justice has been called upon, if he has any issues, to come to the court and say if he has any issues to having the law struck down. But just in case it doesn't, and if the judgment is upheld, it will mean a very lot to journalists. For the past 5-10 years, several journalists have been arrested for criminal defamation. I can count 10 probably at the top of my head. And criminal defamation, by its nature, meant that the burden of proof is on the accused rather than on the state. So chances of you being found guilty are much higher because you have to prove you're not guilty rather than prove you're innocent. So it's coming at a good time because in the past we've seen people being arrested on the flimsiest of charges. And also there's been a tendency by probably some of us in the media to censor ourselves because we don't know whose toes we're stepping on. And the use of criminal defamation is a bit of a catch-all law. So probably exciting times. It's not the end of it all. The fight for freedom of expression should continue. But this is a beginning to say at least this thing has been removed out of our way, this law, this kind of legislation, and to somewhat it frees the journalist fraternity.
That was former Standard newspaper journalist Nkaba Machazi in England, speaking on the line with Ntungameli Nkomo.
A delegation from Zimbabwe is among more than 140 countries attending a convention in New York to address the rights of persons with disabilities. The convention, which ends today, aims to address how best to implement the United Nations Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities beyond 2015. People with disabilities continue to be discriminated against in schools, the workplace, and even at home. An estimated 10% of the world's population, or 650 million people, live with a disability, according to the UN, with the majority 80% in developing countries. Rejoice Timire is the executive director of the Disabled Women Support Organization in Harare. As a person with disabilities and in a wheelchair, she says she has confronted problems and hopes the convention can end discrimination.
Our was involved in a car accident, and I sustained a spinal injury, so I'm paralyzed, so I'm a wheelchair user.
Do you personally feel discrimination against you?
Yes, I did experience really a lot of discrimination, and being looked down upon. And I can say even the dignity which I had when I was able-bodied as a mother, as a wife, as an auntie, I lost some of those things. I only regained a little when I was employed as an executive director. Then some people had to see, the family members had to see, oh, she can do something. But at the beginning, they were looking down upon me. They thought I was just a burden. You would not even be allowed to visit the places which you want, to socialize with other people, as though you are a prisoner. As a mother, you couldn't even ask your kids to say, oh, can you do this for me? Can you do this for me? I had to really show them that I was able to do it.
Now, conventions like the one that is taking place in New York, how do you think they can help change perception of the fact that people with disabilities, outside their disabilities, are really very capable human beings?
It will really help us if our nation be educated on issues of disability. And I've seen people with disabilities from other countries that they are really people who can make it in society. That disability is an inability. That information, if it is disseminated nationwide, even to our parliament members, for those in the community leaders, this will really help a lot because they will understand disability better than what they know now.
What are the challenges that you encounter as an organization dealing with people with disabilities?
Most of our members, they are not educated. To the fact that the infrastructure in schools is not disability friendly. There are no rents, no toilets for disabilities. There are no special teachers. As women, cannot access information or read for themselves, for those who can read. If they are not really educated to read Braille, they can't. Most of the information is not written in Braille. And for those with hearing impairment, there is no sign language. In most activities which are happening in the country, you find that the sign language is not there.
Rejoice Timire is the executive director of the Disabled Women Support Organization. She spoke with us from Harare.